A gruesome story leads off our newscast.
Milwaukee police found body parts in a Northside apartment, and now they wonder if they've uncovered some kind of death factory.
At least 30 people have been found dead at a hotel.
Police found parts of bodies, leading them to believe the man they arrested is a mass murderer.
C-O-Z-O.
Oh my God!
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lobotomized. I'm Kevin.
Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Yes. And tonight we're getting back into the kind of weird, goofy stuff that we kind of do from time to time around here. And we're going to be talking about the Mineral Point Vampire.
Which I've never heard of until Kevin decided to do this as a topic, so.
I had also not heard of this.
Okay, I was gonna ask if, like, you'd ever heard of this one.
No, but, I never heard of this one.
Okay.
I like to hear about new lore.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Yeah, new ones are always fun. All right, so basically, the Mineral Point Vampire is a local legend from Mineral Point, Wisconsin, a historic Cornish mining town in the Driftless area of southwest Wisconsin. It involves multiple reported sightings of a tall, pale figure in a black cape, often compared to Dracula, spanning decades, starting in 1981.
Spanning decades.
Yeah. I mean, it's only like three sightings, but I mean, it is over the course of like three decades, I believe. So, I mean, yeah. Technically that's an accurate statement, I suppose.
I mean, 81's not terribly long ago.
No.
You know?
No.
Kind of is.
It's way, but I mean.
No, it's not.
It's closer.
Okay.
Than,
we're old, okay?
Shut the fuck up.
We are old.
I believe.
I'm not old. You're old. Fuck you.
Yeah, I'm younger than you.
I know. Fuck you.
There's more documentation in that than like an 1800 thing. Or more than I'm willing to believe, I guess.
Yeah. So, Mineral Point itself has a rich history of mining lore, ghosts, and odd tales, which add to the vampire story's appeal. I mean, they already got all this other stuff. Why not throw a vampire on top, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm always down for a cool-ass vampire story.
I feel like mining towns in general just have a creepy aura to them.
Yeah.
They do. I mean, look at, yeah, like Point Pleasant.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
TNT mining shit. Mm. I don't know.
Or even like, you know, movies behind it, like My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time it's not vampires. It's just, you know, a guy taking revenge because he got left for dead in a mine cave-in. But, you know, that's a whole different story right there.
Right, but just in general, they're
I love the aura of like the old mining town. Like, yeah. I remember when we were in Point Pleasant, like they had a fucking Piggly Wiggly.
Oh yeah.
And I lost there. My shit.
You bet your ass I went there.
Oh yeah.
I bought a t-shirt.
100. So I didn't get a t-shirt, but like, yeah, dude, just the fact that I was like, there's a fucking Piggly Wiggly, like, holy shit. We may have actually stepped back in time.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a step back in time down there.
It was amazing.
It was cool.
But yeah, so the town itself has leaned into the legend, treating it as a spooky local pride with tours, podcasts, articles, and events. I mean, that'd be pretty sweet. I would love to go to a Mineral Point Vampire, like, walking tour or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, they saw it here, and then they saw it over here. Like,
that would have been awesome. Town.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it seems cool.
Yeah, oh, that'd be fucking great. So there's a big Cornish settlement in Mineral Point as well. And they, of course, brought a lot of their folklore, superstitions, that kind of thing. You know, for the sake of stuff, the Cornish is basically, they're from the lowest southwestern point of England. Like that little peninsula that like juts out at the bottom of it. Like, okay. That's where they're from. Like Cornwall, I believe, is the name of the area.
Yeah.
So
they have their own like distinct, they almost consider themselves distinct from the rest of England.
Yeah. They almost like, I think they have an original language that they like still kind of use sometimes or something like that.
Yeah.
Like some,
yeah.
Like some people do.
I read that too.
I don't know. Did you do any research into their hens? Amanda? Is there anything you can tell me about their hens?
They are known for their chicken
Cornish
breeds,
is known for their hens. Yes, they are.
small little tiny chickens.
No. It's like how Corinth. It's how like Corinth is known for its leather. So, yeah. You know?
All right.
But yeah, so the Cornish miners arrived in large numbers in the 1820s to 1830s to work the lead and zinc mines in southwest Wisconsin's Driftless area.
Wincotton.
Yeah, I know, Wincotton. Does a lot of stuff. Hey, let me tell you something there, buddy. that's more Minnesota, sorry.
Give me a bratwurst.
Go Packers.
Go. Seriously, though, I would love to go to Wisconsin and just eat so much cheese and sausage.
I mean, I did while I was there. It was a good time.
Dude, you'd have to.
Yeah, it's sweet. I mean, that's literally the only food they sell there is just cheese. So it's just cheese in various forms. That's all they ate there.
Is it really like that big on cheese? I know it's like the cheese capital.
I mean,
like the U.S.
But it wasn't like super like that.
No, I'd love to go there sometime.
Yeah, no, Milwaukee was pretty cool. With, you know, people coming in, they bring their traditions and folklore and stories and all that stuff. So Mineral Point basically became one of the most Cornish communities in America, preserving customs, festivals, and folklore long after the mining declined. So some of the most prominent imported traditions are Tommy Knockers, which is basically the Americanized version of the Cornish Knockers, or Buckas, I guess, as they call them. And I thought Stephen King made those up. I don't know about you guys. Like, I was distinctly thought that, like, oh, it's just another Stephen King thing. But apparently he just jacked the legend from this.
I think I had heard of it before. I didn't know. I didn't ever seen or read the book. The movie or the book of the Stephen King story, but
yeah,
I think like I just haven't known much about him, but I thought it was like, yeah, some, you know, old folklore stuff. But
yeah, it's kind of weird. I feel like that's the one that I didn't really watch back in the 90s, you know, because like I remember, you know, of course I remember it. Like, it was the huge one, you know, but, like, right. I remember the fucking Langoliers, like, that, you know, that shitty fucking one that they made. Like, I watched that a bunch of times back in the day. I remember, like, Thinner was another one, like, I remember watching periodically, but never really got down with Tommyknockers for one reason or another.
Like, the only exposure I had, like I told you guys just off mic a little bit ago, is that seeing when they used to put previews of movies on VHS tapes that you'd have to be forced to watch before you watch the movie that bought.
God. Yeah.
So
it's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. I remember Tommyknockers, Thinner. And I think the Langoliers too.
Yeah.
All like on various VHSs. But how annoying to have to watch commercials on a movie you paid for.
Yeah. It's fucking bullshit. Well, now it's like standard. It's like, oh, do you want like the regular like bullshit version with ads, or do you want to give us some more money and then you won't have to look at the ads?
Yeah,
like, it's fucking bullshit. It's like, fuck you, dude. Dumb. I'm already giving you money, you greedy pieces of shit. Fuck you, Netflix. Going to whatever. All right, I've been talking for a minute. Somebody tell us about the Tommyknockers.
All right.
What exactly is a Tommyknocker?
I will. So Tommyknockers, or just knockers. Is a small, about 2 feet tall, gnome-like or impish underground spirits, often described as wrinkled, grizzled, large heads, long arms, and miner's clothing. So there's little mining gnomes.
I was going to say, like, they just sound like David the Gnome. Like, if you remember David the Gnome from back in the day, like, they just sound like David the Gnome. It was like this cartoon about, like, this little gnome guy and, like, his wife. And his name was David, yeah. Yeah. I know, I used to watch it all the time and eat, like, bologna sandwiches and shit. But, like, him and his wife would, like, go around and just do, like, gnome chores, I guess. Like, I barely remember
it. I've never heard of it. So,
I think I put it on the Plex if you guys want to check it out.
Oh, my God. Yes, they do.
Some dumbass requested it. I don't know who.
So they knock on mine walls to warn of cave-ins.
Okay.
Or sometimes cause them as mischief. That's mean.
That's not, that goes a little further than mischief. Like,
yeah, that's
mischief murder. Doesn't usually result in homicide, you know what I mean?
Destroying families.
Yeah, you know, like whatever.
So miners left food offerings like the last bite of a pastry or something such as that to appease them. Some traditions viewed them as ghosts of deceased miners or even spirits of ancient Jews condemned to the mines.
Always comes back to them.
Okay. Yeah.
Always comes back to them. Well, Jesus Christ.
That's interesting. But like ghosts of deceased miners and they come back as gnomes.
Yeah, I know, right? You're mixing like, you know, fairy tales here.
I mean, I can see why I would come back as a gnome. But, like, not you guys.
Well, I love it.
They're supposed to be, like, cobblers or something.
Yeah, I love how it always comes back around, though. And then, the Jews, you know. It's like, all right, Cornish guys, calm down. Yeah. Like, they came out of left field a little bit.
Okay, Cornish guys.
They're annoying. Yeah, like, give it to you. They're annoying the shit out of me right now. But still, like, just everything doesn't always have to come back to them. So in Mineral Point and Wisconsin mining areas, of course, these beliefs persisted. Pendarvis and the local events embraced Tommyknocker lore for tourism, and they represent...
What is Pendarvis? Is that the city?
I think that's a local thing or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. But they represent the town's mining heritage and add a layer of supernatural mischief to the landscape. Like, it's not mischief if you're murdering people. It's like, oh, we just caused a cave in and 20 guys starved to death and, you know, one started eating the other one. But yeah, just mischief. It's fine.
Yeah, they're killing each other over air and it's just a fun little game.
Yeah, exactly. Like
a twisted little gnome.
Yeah, these little gnomes are laughing their dicks off, like eating the last pieces of pastries and shit. Like, dude, Tommyknockers are dickheads, dude. Fuck those things.
Yeah, it does make me want to watch that Stephen King movie, though.
Yeah.
Pendarvis is just a Cornish historical site.
Okay.
Like in Wisconsin.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, Kyle, you want to tell us about the Piskies?
The Piskies. The Piskies are mischievous fairy-like beings that lead travelers astray. They'll swap children
Yikes.
With changelings.
Nice.
Will play tricks. They inhabit the moors, stone circles, and wild places echoing the hilly valley and setting around Mineral Point.
Nice.
So.
Fucking changelings, man.
Changelings.
Yeah.
So is it saying that the sprite changes into the person's child to trick them and then like fuck with them?
Kind of, I think. There's actually a fucking movie from like, I think it's like 1980 called like The Changeling.
Oh, yeah,
that's supposed to be like really, like I've actually never watched it, I've heard it's supposed to be really good. Is it
George C. Scott?
Yeah, it's like George C. Scott's in it. Yeah, so.
I've heard that's supposed to be good. I should watch that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he's like haunted by like his kid dies or something like that. And he's like haunted by that or something.
Something like that.
His, or like his wife dies in childbirth and like both of them die. And like, I don't remember, but I got to check it out. Cause I've heard a lot of people say it's pretty sweet. All right. Let's see what we got next. Let's just go for the ghost and the buka. So, broader traditions of restless spirits, coastal mine hauntings, and entities like the buka, which are mine coastal spirits, sometimes benevolent, or sometimes they're malevolent. So, there's good ones and bad ones, apparently.
We don't really know.
Yeah, we're not sure. It just kind of...
So, they're, like, inviting all this, like, strangeness just by, like, believing in all of it and, like, perpetuating the...
So
kind of manifesting it
a little bit.
So they had corny people had it coming, basically.
In a way.
Yeah kind of. Nice. That's what I like about you. Just no bullshit, straight shooter. Like that's good, Kyle.
In a way, yes.
Oh man. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the vampire itself. So the vampire was a tall 6'5", pale slash white faced, wearing a black cape, was able, capable of superhuman leaps, and was associated with the water in the cemetery. Vampires don't traditionally match Cornish legends. So this is kind of out of their wheelhouse a little bit, but okay. I mean,
it's like an Eastern European thing, right? Like, man,
yeah, I like think so. Transylvania. Yeah, like that Romanian area, stuff, Romania, like, that kind of thing. So, I mean, that's where, you know, Vlad the Impaler was, you know, he was in like the Romanian area and stuff like that. And that was the basis for Bram Stoker's book. So,
yeah. Picturing the old Count Orlok.
Oh yeah,
Nosferatu. Like,
I mean, like that's
reading about this story, though.
Yeah, like the description, it kind of sounds more like a Nosferatu vampire than a Count Dracula vampire.
Yeah.
So especially with how like tall and gangly, like it almost kind of reminds me of in that John Carpenter vampires, like that main vampire in that. If you guys ever seen that movie?
No.
Okay. You should totally see that movie because that movie's amazing. Dude, James Woods like smacking around Cheryl Lee from fucking Twin Peaks. It's fucking hilarious. It's fucking hilarious. Him and one of the Baldwins and fucking like, I don't know. They're basically like vampire hunters and they like work for the church and basically go around to different sites and fucking like exterminate nests of vampires.
Okay.
Dude, it's a sweet fucking movie. Sweet.
Nests of vampires.
Yeah, pretty much.
It just sounds yeah. so funny to me.
Nests I know. Of vampires. Well, that's what they call it in the movie. They're like, we got a nest here in this area and blah, blah, blah. But like the main OG vampire ends up coming back. So it's like him for, it's Thomas Ian Griffith is who plays it. So he's like tall, lanky and shit. And he kind of, I think he is like around like 6'5".
Nice.
So yeah, it's like him versus James Woods, so which is kind of funny. 6'5",
so he's not the Count from Sesame Street.
He is not.
Takes that one out.
No, because I'm pretty sure that guy was a midget. All right. So, yeah, but so what else we got? So there is a couple of other legends like around the area as well too that they have. Like I said, like in 1987, somebody claimed that they saw a fucking werewolf in, you know, Mineral Point.
Yeah.
Like, and then they have the Ridgeway ghost as well. So like they got there's a lot of goofy shit going on there.
Well, even like it just Wisconsin too, like, isn't that where the Beast of Bray Road
is?
Yeah.
Yep, it is. Yeah, it's got that as well. I wonder
how far away that is.
I don't know. I've always wanted to go drive down that road, though.
Yeah.
Next time I'm in Wisconsin, I'm totally going to, you know, just take a cruise down Bray Road and check it out. All right. So speaking of that werewolf incident, let's get into that. When do you guys want to take it?
Sure. Yeah. The cool. In 1987, there was a werewolf incident in Mineral Point. It was brief but striking in the town's collection of weird lore, often mentioned alongside the vampire sightings and other oddities from the area. So it was the spring of 1987, and it was in the middle of the day.
Hold on. Time out.
Yeah.
There was a werewolf sighting in the middle of the day. That's not a werewolf then.
Oh, geez.
It's full moon, yeah.
I mean, like I said, like I'm already like, wait a minute. I'm a shapeshifter, maybe. Skinwalker, I'll give you that.
Dogman.
Yeah, Dogman. But it's not a fucking werewolf. So, sorry, continue.
Yeah,
as soon as you said that, we believe
the traditional lore of a werewolf.
Yeah.
That's already a red flag.
I'm already having some doubts about this one. Five seconds in, I'm already poking holes in the barrel. So I'm just saying.
Hold up, midday, yeah. So
you saw a werewolf, like you're a fucking idiot.
It was in Mineral Point, but it was reportedly up to 20 people have witnessed this.
See, that's big. So that's like obviously big. They that's saw quite something. A bit. But... I mean,
one person, like, hey, you're nuts. But I mean, 20 people say that's
kind of it's like, okay, well, you saw, obviously you saw something. So yeah.
That's just 20 people who don't know what a werewolf is. So
yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah, so what they saw was a werewolf-like creature running in broad daylight. It entered a building or a house, and witnesses allegedly watched it transform back into human form.
Okay. I mean, that's...
Okay, well, that's interesting.
Then, that's so pretty interesting.
Would they just maybe approach the house and be like,
hey, dude.
Dude, you okay? Like, yeah. What's going on here?
I thought you were a dog, man.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with that?
But, yeah, the account secondhand. It was from a woman named Kim. She reached out to a researcher and the author, Linda S. Godfrey, around 2004 to relay the story.
I thought there was 20 witnesses.
Yeah.
According to Kim.
Well, that's what this Kim said. This
Kim said that, like, me and 19 other people saw it.
Yeah.
It was a werewolf.
But it running through the sunlight. Couldn't get anybody else to verify this, so. That doesn't mean a whole lot, but the story is in her book. She wrote The Hunting the American Werewolf, a Beastmen in Wisconsin and Beyond. I think she was the one that did a lot of the journalism stuff for the Bray Road
thing. I think she did too. Yeah. Yeah. Like I hearing the name Godfrey, Linda Godfrey and stuff like that. And like just different docs I've watched about that and stuff like that. Like I'm pretty sure she was pretty involved in documenting that.
Yeah.
So Beast of Bray Road, way better story than whatever the fuck this is.
A lot more witnesses for that one.
Yeah. Are you sure it wasn't a vampire running around in the middle of the day, you dumb bitch? Sorry.
Was it wearing a funny little hat? Yeah. Did it have a magic wand? Yeah.
Hold up.
Yeah. Future. But no other direct first person testimonies. No other names for these witnesses.
Okay.
Right.
Lame.
Contemporary newspaper reports, they were widely available, but it lacks police documentation as well. That does support the vampire encounter, because that was actually witnessed by a cop.
Yeah, the initial sighting was by a cop.
And we'll go into that, right?
Yes.
Is that coming up?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
That is coming up. So some of the context with that, though, just like I said, fits into the pattern of the high strangeness, as it's called, that's going on there. But it occurred roughly 6 years after the original 1981 vampire sighting in Graceland Cemetery. The town's Cornish mining heritage and proximity to the Ridgeway Phantom legends create a backdrop where shape-shifting or monstrous tales feel like, you know, they're just part of living there. And it actually does predate, or technically, I guess, overlaps with the Beast of the Bray Road that we were talking about. So, I mean, there, I think there was some sightings on Bray Road around that time, like, but it wasn't officially, you know, known as the Beast of Bray Road, like, at that point of that story. So, yeah, I got to do this part too. Skeptics view it as hearsay, possible misidentification, exaggeration, or a prank story amplified by the town's existing monster reputation. Believers point to the daylight, multiple witnesses, and transformation element as classic werewolf folklore motifs.
See, if there were really multiple witnesses, you would have more accounts. Like, I mean, there wouldn't be 20 people that go, I definitely don't want to tell my story. I definitely don't want to report.
Yeah, you could get one or two of them.
Yeah.
Well, especially if you're like, listen, I'm telling the story. Come on. Back me up. We know what we saw.
Well, I mean, even so, like if I was like Linda Godfrey too, I'd be like, I need to talk to like all of them.
You know?
It's like you're seriously telling me
two other people.
Come on. Seriously telling me that you went 0-for-20 like on all these?
Yeah.
No. Sorry, I'm not buying this one. Oh man. So the other famous paranormal occurrence that took place in the area was the Ridgeway Phantom. Somebody tell us about this.
Okay, so the Ridgeway Ghost, also known as the Ridgeway Phantom, is one of Wisconsin's oldest and most famous pieces of folklore, centered in Iowa County in the Driftless area, which is very close to Mineral Point. It is a shape-shifting phantom haunting the old Military Ridge Road between the Blue Mounds and Dodgeville, with Ridgeway Village at the heart of the legend. So the ghost is commonly believed to be combined spirits of two brothers who were murdered in a bar brawl in the early 1840s during the chaotic lead mining boom. One version involves a peddler who stopped for a drink and vanished. So that's another version of the lore. One version involves a peddler who stopped for a drink and vanished. His saddled horse later returned home without him.
Oh, that's sad.
Horsey. The brothers or the victim were killed amid frontier violence, and their restless spirits began appearing soon after. Early mining camps were lawless, with many Cornish, Welsh, and other immigrant miners bringing their superstitions. The legend took hold quickly along the busy ox wagon route.
I mean, a lot of these guys were probably nutty as shit, too. Like, you got to think, like, they're doing lead mining
in the 1800s. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
These guys were probably mad as a fucking hatter, dude. Like,
that's true.
Yeah.
You know they're not wearing proper masks. And
they're literally
eating off that shit, bro.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Joe Dirt and his space peanut.
You eat off that, man. I am picturing when you talk about these ghosts of these brothers of fucking Ghostbusters 2 when they're in that courtroom.
Oh, like, yeah, with that like fucking asshole judge.
Yeah.
The Scolari brothers.
Yeah.
There you go.
And that slime just starts oozing like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ghostbusters 2, definitely inferior to the first one, but still not bad.
Yeah, another one of the sequels my family owned without owning the original one, so I've seen the second Ghostbusters way more than the first.
I mean,
but I still agree the first was better.
Oh, 100%, but there's definitely worse sequels you could have been stuck with.
Yeah, it's not bad. I still love it, but it's probably just because I, you know, it's nostalgic.
Yeah,
it's nostalgic.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, so Kyle, you want to tell us about some key characteristics and behaviors of this ghost?
For this Ridgeway ghost, sure, yeah. It's said to be a classic shapeshifter slash trickster. Tip-top
ship. It's a tip-top ghost, let me tell you that right there.
But like a trickster spirit rather than just any type of passive haunting. So sometimes people have seen a man with a whip walking alongside or chasing people.
Oh, fuck.
Phantom farm animals like dogs and sheep and pigs and horses. Arthur Shawcross isn't anywhere near these farms.
Yeah, I know, right? Jesus Christ.
Keep him away.
Yeah. The headless horseman, it's sometimes riding backwards.
I mean, I guess it doesn't really. He probably thought he was going the right way.
He doesn't have a head. Yeah. You don't even know. Boogity boogity. It's
like, look at this dumbass.
The I'm cheese over here.
The cheese palace is that way. What the hell is he doing?
Sometimes young women, sometimes old women, just a ball of fire and any other random human or animal shapes. So it could do basically, I guess, whatever it wants.
I guess. Or there's a bunch of different shit and they're all just saying it's just this for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, if it's that many different things, like, what if it's just different things?
Yeah, exactly. I would tend to believe it's that.
Like, if I saw a flaming, like, ghostly ball of fire flying through the woods.
Like, oh, there's the headless horseman.
Like, headless horseman.
Definitely
not
the same thing as
they're the same thing. No,
yeah. I mean, no, I
wouldn't even think they're the same. But, apparently the people will see it riding along silently in wagons. Or in steel wagon wheels, startles their horses, milks cows dry, harasses travelers, and in darker tales, directly causes harm or death to those who encounter it.
Damn.
Yeah.
How do they know it milks cows dry?
Well, like, they just
somebody took all my cow's milk.
They're just blaming it. Like,
yeah, it's like, is the milk just like on the ground? And
like, is the bucket full? Because like that sounds like, you know, somebody
you did
else
you a
just
favor.
Did, yeah, I was gonna say like somebody just did your chores. Like that's a good thing, right?
Like the gnome was helping you out for giving it a little bit of your pasty.
Yeah, there you go. Like, damn ghost doing my chores.
Like, did the cow tell you?
Yeah.
Oh, he milked me dry.
No, when you flipped his ear up, it was on E. So that's how you can tell when there's no bone milk in there.
You're such an idiot.
Hey, Bessie, how you doing? All right, I'll try again tomorrow.
God. Yeah, but I don't know. Unusually malevolent for a ghost that says rumored to have killed people.
Okay.
Yeah, led to widespread fear in the area. And in peak times, neighbors reportedly requested armed escorts to travel after dark.
Oh my God.
What's that going to do?
Yeah, I don't know. A headless horseman?
I mean, you can't shoot ghosts, so. they think it's a good. I feel like this whole town doesn't understand any
you
of the
should
fucking
be walking
things
with like a
that
priest
they're afraid of
or something, yeah, an exorcist
exactly. Or a freaking proton pack. Like I don't know, but like I feel like these guys like just don't understand supernatural things. They're like, okay, there's a ghost out there killing people. Let's bring the gun. Oh yeah, I saw a werewolf running in the sunlight. Like. No, like you guys are getting all these wrong.
Yeah, what are we missing here?
I need
like, what are we missing?
In a wheelchair, Dan Aykroyd, and a double-barreled shotgun. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go catch some ghosts. I got my net. Like, it'll work.
I
just
got my
fine.
Net.
It'll work just fine. I promise. The fuck. Oh man. one of the earliest reported sightings of this was by Dr. Cutler of Dodgeville, who claimed the phantom appeared on the pole of his wagon while I hope that's not a metaphor, but while riding home one night.
Doctor.
All right, so yeah,
that was it. That's all we had on that one.
We got some sightings and cycles and stuff like that. So take us into some of that.
All right, I can do that.
Cool.
So reports date from the 1840s onward. Sightings reportedly cycle every about 40 years, escalating in the 1850s, 1890s, 1930s, and 1970s. That's interesting.
So it's like it. It's kind of
yeah,
like it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, with it's like every 27 years, but like this is around 40, so I don't know.
Yeah. So some accounts say activity peaked between 1840 and 1885. The town of Ridgeway earned the nickname Home of the Famous Ghost.
That's a little weak. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, really. Sightings supposedly declined or ended around 1910 when part of the town burned. Some say the ghost got its revenge, but others claim it persists in the woods or along the roads.
Nice. So, yeah, I mean, they got a bunch of goofy shit going on there that, I mean, they're, you know, they're not too great with the, you know, they should read up on some of the stuff a little bit, maybe, but it seems like they got a lot of goofy shit going on.
Yeah, don't you understand the rules?
Yeah. Okay, so the modern status, though, of Ridgeway, so it still embraces the legend for tourism and local identity. I mean, that'd be another thing. I'd be like, let's go see the Ridgeway ghost, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, Phantom.
And that's something I would do,
oh,
you know?
Yeah,
I know something you would do, too.
Yeah, it's a good time. So the story has appeared in podcasts, books, and Halloween storytelling. While there has been no recent waves of sightings, the story remains vivid in Southwest Wisconsin oral history. It stands out in American folklore as a particularly active, dangerous, and versatile ghost, more poltergeist. See, they keep saying like this is a trickster, but if it's once again, that's like mischief from earlier. Like if it ends in murder, it's not like gotcha.
About how like it's such a malevolent spirit.
There you go.
And that's not just like playing a trick. It's like
right. If somebody kills somebody, they're not guilty of. They're not serving life in prison for trickery.
Right.
Well, due to the April Fool's Act of 1842, you get off, so it's fine. You said you were only fooling, so all right, you're free to go.
You mischievous person.
These accidents happen. Yeah. If only you weren't such a trickster. So all right, let's get into what we showed up here. So let's get into the vampire.
The vampire.
Different vampire. I mean, he might have counted. I don't know. I don't think I have that in my notes, but he might have counted.
Counted.
Yeah.
Count mineral point.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, 1981 was the inaugural sighting of the Mineral Point vampire. More specifically, March 14th, though there are some accounts that say March 30th, but the newspapers reported it around April, so maybe the editor flubbed the date or something like that. So the witness was actually a police officer named John Pepper. So according to Pepper, he was on patrol checking for vandals in Graceland Cemetery. Why?
Maybe he had a call.
I guess, but I mean, every St. Patrick's Day they fucking vandalize the cemetery? Like, why is he looking for shit in March?
I heard that there had been vandalism happening like recently. That's why they put it like as part of the patrol route.
Gotcha.
You know, just to try to,
that makes sense.
You know, keep anyone from fucking around in there.
Yeah. All right, so he's looking for vandals when all of a sudden his flashlight caught a tall, dark figure among the gravestones. He described it as, quote, a huge person wearing a black cape with a white painted face, about 6'5" and ugly.
I thought that was hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
The same thing.
Oh, yeah. U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi.
You ugly.
Son of a bitch looked like a dog's asshole. In spite of all this, though, he approached and asked the figure what it was doing. So it turned and ran without responding. Pepper gave chase but couldn't keep up. The figure apparently leapt over a 4-foot fence into an adjacent pasture with Angus bulls. Pepper stopped the pursuit there. He's like, I'm not going in there with those bulls. Man. Fuck that vampire, dude.
Yeah, I heard he like dropped his radio at one point, too.
Okay.
Of course he did.
Yeah. So in a later quote from the Biscobal Dial, which I'm guessing is like a local paper or something like that, he says, I got within 15 feet and called out to him, but he didn't answer. Just stood there. I've never seen anyone that tall before in Mineral Point. Okay. I couldn't match his stride, and I'm 6'2". It's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. So the next day, a couple officers, including Pepper himself, investigated and found footprints leading to the fence, but none on the other side. Lieutenant Bill Trott publicly commented on the incident and noted a wave of copycat pranks, basically people dressing up as vampires after that, especially around April 1st. So yeah, that's kind of fun. They're kind of having fun with it a little bit. I guess Pepper reportedly declined overtime to patrol the cemetery again. This single police encounter, though, sparked widespread local, quote, vampire fever, with many additional, basically, you know, just pranks reported in the following days.
Yeah, he actually got promoted to sergeant after this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then the Beatles wrote an album about him.
About him? Oh, that's good. Nice. all right, so who wants to tell us about the March 2004 incident?
I'll go.
All right.
So, March in 2004, the apartment complex tree sighting. There was a bunch of unnamed residents of this apartment complex who called the police after being heckled by the figure. So it was around 9 p.m. and the residents reported a pale, dark clad with a cape figure, possibly in a cape, sitting in the tree outside of the building, taunting and heckling us.
What the fuck?
Like, what is he saying?
Like, yeah, dude. He's just chilling out there in a tree, talking shit.
Yeah. Hey, your shoes are whack.
Hey, lady, look out, there's a fat whale.
Where'd you get those pants? The toilet store?
So, you see the weight room?
Yeah.
Check it out.
Get out of here, Tommy. Don't have to go for the weight room thing.
When police arrived, though, the figure jumped down and he fled, and the officer pursued on foot. There were tracks in the fresh snow, which the officers followed. They apparently outran them until the footprints abruptly ended at a 10-foot concrete wall with no continuation on the other side, no sign of the person.
I mean, that's kind of like,
that okay, is a little crazy.
That's a little crazy.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been no direct public testimonies from any of these residents or the pursuing officer. The story just relies on secondhand police and response accounts circulated in later retellings, so it's a little bit...
It's kind of a game of telephone
fishy.
At that point.
Yeah, it's not great.
But it does note that the description matched the 1981 sighting.
I mean, were they just like, it was a damn vampire? It's like, all right, well, that's what they said in 81.
There's
so
a vampire up same. In that tree talking shit to me.
I mean, I missed it. That the one that was talking shit in the tree, was he wearing a cape?
He said possibly he was wearing a cape.
He said possibly.
Yeah. Which, I mean, look, man, you're in a tree wearing a cape. I don't think you got any business talking shit to anybody. Okay. Fucking nerd just out there like cosplaying or whatever the fuck he's doing. All right, you want to take the latest one?
Yeah, I'll do this one. Yeah, right. I read about this one too.
Okay, cool.
This one happened in July 11th of 2008 on Ludden Lake. It's a Ludden Lake jetty encounter. So the witnesses were Brandon Hines, who was 22, and his girlfriend Jamie Marker, who was 19. Both Mineral Point residents, they reported directly to police that night. So around 10 p.m., the couple was fishing off of a jetty on the west shore of Ludden Lake when they heard scratching / climbing noises under the boards. And it was, quote, like something was using the boards of the jetty like a ladder. That's fucking scary.
That's pretty, okay. Yeah, that's pretty insane.
And that's a detailed description of that, you know?
What yeah. exactly is a jetty? Is it just a small boat?
A jetty, isn't it like the
it's like part of the dock.
Like the dock, the yeah. part of the dock. Like yeah. maybe like a skinny part of the dock.
Yeah, skinny part of the dock, basically. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
That's my understanding of it. Yeah. It's like it's not a full blown dock, but like just a small little like singular one for like okay. maybe like one or two boats could like pull up, I think.
Yeah. So that was my take. So Hines stopped too scared away, thinking it was an animal, and he shone his flashlight through the cracks. They heard splashing as it moved to the other side. Hines then saw, quote, a figure with dark hair and a very pale face pulling itself up onto the jetty. Terrifying. As it yeah. stood, apparently, in quotes, it was wearing some kind of Dracula-looking cape and a suit, sort of. Both Hines and Marker described it very similarly. So two witnesses describing the same thing.
Yeah.
So Marker, the girl, ran to the car. The guy kept the light on it. threw his flashlight at the figure. Dumb move, man.
Fuck you.
Fuck. Seemed like a good idea at the time. So threw a flashlight at the figure and fled after her. In the car, the girl saw the figure running up the path toward them and screamed for Hines to drive faster. That's terrifying. They went straight to the Mineral Point police station to report it, as they should. A patrol checked the area but found nothing. The next day, they returned for their gear. Everything was there except for Hines's flashlight. And Hines reportedly said, whoever it is, they can keep it. You know what? I believe these kids. These kids.
That one, I think they saw something. I don't know if they saw a fucking vampire, but they definitely got into it with somebody.
There was a person there that was, you know.
That's scary as hell. Yeah.
But who, they're climbing underneath the jetty.
That's so fucking weird.
That's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be, I mean, and like the guy was just like, well, I mean, as anybody would do, the guy shined the flashlight and they're like, what the fuck is that? Mm-hmm. You know? And they're shit, it's not an animal, it's a person.
I love that he eventually threw his flashlight at it. That's so fucking awesome.
I mean, I guess like, so that's a stupid move, but I guess if you have nothing else, like that might be something you would just do and go, fuck, that's my light.
Especially if it's like one of those heavy mag lights or something. Oh, you could,
right.
You could slow somebody down for a half a second with that.
Yeah. I mean, like you're not really going to fuck somebody up with a fishing pole. You know what I mean? Like, it's right. It's kind of flimsy. Like, it's not a good weapon.
Unless you poke them in the eye just perfectly.
You've got to be very precise.
Right.
So, I don't know. But yeah, they, maybe not a vampire, but I don't know. I was going to guess a crackhead, but the fact that they left all the stuff behind, except for the flashlight, I guess
suggests otherwise.
It suggests otherwise, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I just love how I believe them that obviously something was there.
I believe that something happened.
He was like, whoever has the flashlight can keep it. Like that's something that somebody who clearly saw. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, fuck it, I don't even care.
I'm actually surprised that they went back to try to get their gear, but I guess like, well, I guess if a patrolman
went back with the cops the next day or something like that, or yeah, but yeah, I don't know, that one. That seems like the most legit story of the three. Oh man. So as far as any other reports, like we said, there was a bunch of sightings and pranks in 81 after the initial one that people did just, you know, because it seems like a bunch of goofballs, you know, a bunch of fun loving goofballs live in this fucking area. So, but like those three are basically the most documented and detailed, regardless of how flimsy some of the stories are. Those three are the best. With, I mean, I think we can probably all agree with this. The last one that we just said being the most believable and precise one.
Yes.
Instead of just like a bunch of people in an apartment being like, that asshole in the tree is making fun of me.
Yeah. I mean, the first one you got is.
I mean, the cop too. It's kind of believable as well. Like,
maybe if you weren't such a loser, you wouldn't be making fun of you in a tree.
Then these other people. Yeah, I don't know. They're just all crazy stories. And even in the heckling one.
It's just so random.
Disappearing, you know?
Yeah, it's just so random that that's the scariest part of that is the footprints disappearing at the wall.
Otherwise, it's just funny.
Exactly. Otherwise, it's just a hilarious story. So,
I wonder how high up in the tree he was, dude. Like, yeah, I know, like 30 right? feet up there. Like, hey, you. Not you.
You suck.
You. You suck.
It's like that fucking dude in Kingpin. Yeah. It's like, what are you looking at? What are you looking at, huh? You suck. Just kind of laughs to himself. Just random, just some dude walking down the sidewalk. Man. Yeah, that one, maybe not a vampire, but whatever. But like I said, you know, those are the most well-documented ones, so that's basically what we have to go on. There was no additional major sightings while widely reported after the 2008 one, though, of course, the legend persists in local storytelling, podcasts, and tourism. And we're helping keep that legend alive that right now.
Alive.
Right.
Yeah. So as far as investigations into any of this, they found recent inquiries found no police records for the 2004 or 2008 incidents, according to the Mineral Point police chief.
Why?
I don't know, because it especially says with the 2008 that they went directly to the police station afterwards.
Yeah, and they supposedly went out immediately back there to look for whatever these kids were talking about.
Yeah. Apparently, the library archives also lack cooperation, which is curious as well. The 2000 stories appeared to trace back to online forums, blogs around 2011, and may just be embellishments or hoaxes. Ah, that's lame. That sucks. More on the 1981. Some locals, of course, suspected a prank, possibly involving Officer Pepper himself. One later anecdotal claim, post-2017, suggested a man named Reuben Riley confessed to being the, quote, vampire. However, Pepper has actually never recanted, and the event has contemporary news coverage.
So he was like, no, I saw what I saw.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it sounds like Pepper is sticking to his story. So.
Did this Reuben Riley... Did he confess to being the original one in 81?
Yes, okay. Yes, in 81. Yeah. So, so of course, the 1981 event has the strongest paper trail and a named police witness. Later stories amplified the legend, but faced more scrutiny for lacking official documentation. Of course.
I get that.
That makes sense. I wish it had official documentation, but unfortunately, that's not the case. But of course, the town being Mineral Point has embraced it nonetheless.
I get it. I mean, it's totally like a quirky little town.
Oh, I totally would too.
I would totally embrace that.
I would be trying to do fucking like vampire tours and stuff like that.
You gotta keep it alive, yeah.
We got a vampire running around.
Yeah.
And he likes to talk shit.
Yeah.
Mama's so fat.
Yeah, we've got an asshole vampire around here.
Yeah, he doesn't need blood to like supply his life force. He's just got to talk shit.
He just
keeps him going, man.
He's got to be an asshole.
He's just filled with hate and rage.
He's not going to actually like attack and hurt you, but he is just going to hurt your feelings.
Yeah,
he's actually just like an eighth grade boy.
Yeah,
your mama's so fat. Your mama's so ugly.
Officer, that motherfucker talking shit. Get out of here. Oh, before I climb that tree and whoop his ass.
It's like, yeah, a bunch of like teenagers just throwing rocks at him up at the tree. Like, shut the fuck up, man. Fuck you.
No, why didn't they just start hucking rocks at him, dude? All right, so.
You call that a throw?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, like a dunk tank.
He just won't
like,
stop. Yeah.
Like a dude in a dunk tank, just like, oh, you throw like my sister. Oh, man. So yeah. So this Reuben Riley, let's get into this guy a little bit. So he was a local man from Mineral Point / Highland, Wisconsin area. Who has been named in connection with the 1981 Mineral Point vampire sighting as the possible prankster behind it. So a little background on Riley. He was born April 2nd, 1959 in Darlington, Wisconsin. He died September 17th, 2014 at age 55 after a battle with cancer. Man, that's young as fuck. That sucks. He passed at home surrounded by family, so that's good. Apparently his nickname was Racin' Reuben Riley. He was involved in local like stock car and local racing circuits. So basically like amateur NASCAR, I guess, like kind of. He was a skilled carpenter who worked for the Wick buildings before starting his own business, Triple R Construction. So that's cool. He kind of took the Racin' Reuben Riley and made it his own like, business. That's kind of cool. All right. Described as a fun-loving, free-spirited soul with a sense of humor. Sounds like the type of guy who would pull a fucking vampire prank.
Yeah.
So in a 2022 article in the Dodgeville Chronicle, an anonymous family friend claimed that Riley had confessed to being the vampire in Graceland Cemetery on the night Officer John Pepper encountered the figure in 1981. The friend said this revelation came after Riley's death. The article attributes his actions to his sense of humor. This claim has been repeated in later retellings of the legend. However, it remains unverified hearsay from an anonymous source. No direct confession from Riley himself is documented publicly, and he is not known to have spoken about this during his lifetime.
So then how did that... I don't understand how this friend thought this to happen. Did he say that Riley confessed to him?
Yeah, he said Riley told him.
Like basically. A deathbed confession?
No, with... probably not even like that. They were probably hanging out one night getting fucking shithoused. And he's like, dude, I'm going to tell you something. Like,
you know what's funny?
It's like,
that sounds hilarious and it sounds probably true. Because, first of all, now if it was Riley like saying it, you think maybe it'd be to attract attention and, you know, maybe he did it, maybe he didn't. But his friend's like, dude, hey, he told me this like in private and I just want to.
And he was drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, that's kind of hilarious.
It's probably what it was. Like, I don't know that's how the conversation went down, but I could totally see that.
Beer drinking's practically religion in Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly. So. And it's just like, you know, you get a couple of drinks in you, start getting some loose lips, you know. It's like, dude, like maybe, you know, the story came up and he's like, all right, dude, I'm going to fucking tell you this. Like. Yeah. Okay. Remember how that jackass Officer Pepper used to fuck with us back in the day? So one time I got some stilts and I painted my face white and I got a cape and I scared the fuck out of him in the cemetery.
And it made like national news and I just stopped talking.
Yeah. I just shut the fuck up.
Still though, yeah. I mean, that if it did do this, first of all, I'd like to know if he's like
6'5". We'll get into that. From the sound of it,
you're not going to outrun, you know, him at stilts, but like,
It's weird because, just given one or the other, like, both of these things can't be true.
Yeah.
Basically. Like, either Riley is the vampire and Pepper is extremely, I don't know, his fucking eyesight sucks or something. I don't know. And he took off running in the wrong direction or something. Or this was something else.
Yeah.
Because, we'll get into the skepticism here. So I guess there was an investigative writer named Walker Jarrock who located Riley's obituary and photo. He noted that Riley would have been about 19 to 22 years old in March 1981. He appeared as a handsome, normal-looking young man in photos, not matching Officer Pepper's description of a huge 6'5", ugly, gruesome figure with a white painted face. A heavy makeup costume effect would have been needed to match the sighting. He also expressed doubt that Riley was the figure and noted that Riley's family might object to the characterization. He treats the anonymous claim as conjecture rather than proven fact.
Well, unless, Officer Pepper thinks he's taller than he really is.
Yeah, because
I'm 6'2". Dude, you're like 5'10".
He's like Tom Cruise. Dude, you're like 4'8". So, but yeah. Let's see here. So basically, you know, long story short, Reuben Riley is remembered locally as a racer, carpenter, and a humorous personality. His links to the vampire story is a single anonymous posthumous claim that adds to the folklore, but is not conclusively proven and faces physical description challenges. Yeah, I would say so. It fits the pattern of small town oral history where colorful locals get tied to enduring legends. So that is the vampire of Mineral Point. Probably not Reuben. Probably not a vampire. But maybe something. I don't know. What do you guys think about this one?
Maybe. I mean, there's just not a lot of witnesses here.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think or would like to think, you know, a lot of people end up seeing crazy shit like this, but are just too afraid to report it. I don't know, but when your first witness is a cop, and if you see some stuff, like, I'd feel better, you know, telling that I saw it too, when the first person is a cop, at least, you know.
Yeah, it does add a little bit of credibility to it.
Yeah, because you're not like, it's not like he lost his job over this or anything, but like,
no.
You know, probably behind his back, people call him nuts, but
yeah, you know, say, he probably called like a little bit of shit for it, but
I not mean, as much as just some like,
this gonna happen.
Some local farmer or something, like,
yeah,
the guy with the bulls, you know, yeah, who, if he would have seen it, been like, I saw a vampire, yeah, you know, be like, oh,
like, shut the fuck up.
Crazy old man Wilkins, he's a little too much of the corn last night.
It's like, this is Tommyknocker country. Like, we don't have, yeah, vampires
we
here,
have
you
little
idiot.
Gnomes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's really cool. Funny to think of some badass vampire just talking shit to people from a tree.
And that's hilarious.
That's the funniest part of the story. It's just like, what the hey, fuck? It's so random. Yeah. Hey, hairdo. What are you doing down there? Hey,
hairdo. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were a guy.
You know? See somebody like getting in their car. It's like, oh, I didn't know they sold those to men. Yeah. Just talking shit. Pretty fucking amazing. That's my favorite story. That might be the dumbest paranormal story I've ever heard, but it's also one of my favorites.
But they both end up with like the weird fact that these footprints just disappear at, like, you know, places where you'd have to be like really good at parkour or something, yeah, to get out.
Or you would need to take.
I mean,
off.
What do vampires fly? Like, why? So I
depends.
Mean, if we think it's a vampire, then
it depends
why would
on
they...
what movie you're watching.
Or if, like, yeah, they could just, like, actually turn into a bat at any time. You could just,
yeah,
like, jump up in the air, turn into a bat.
Yeah, you could, like, do that. You know.
Okay,
you're,
yeah.
Did they check for bat prints?
Guano.
Yeah,
guano.
Yeah, did they check for guano?
Why is it so funny?
Guano.
Because, I mean, yeah, if they found a bunch of that on the fence, you know, then they'd be like, okay, we got a vampire here, guys.
Right.
100%.
Yeah.
That would be the worst if, like, you're a vampire and the second you turned into a bat, like, all your poop, like, stayed the same size. So, like, you immediately had to shit as soon as you turned into a bat before you even flew away. I don't know, like... Because that's like separate from your body, maybe. Like, I don't know how it works. I didn't write the rules on how
you're right.
Shit
like,
works.
An hour before you changed, you had like five slices of pizza.
Yeah.
Not like an hour, maybe like 8 hours before that.
You're like looking at the last one. You're like, I'm not going to turn into a bat tonight. It's fine.
And you do, and you go, oh my,
it's like,
God.
Oh no.
This is not. I can't even fly right
that's
now.
That's a lot of guano.
Guano. Well, you know, then they get to make some balls and shit. Like, so it's fine.
I don't believe this at all.
Just for the record, for that's the camp you're in.
You know what? I love the lore behind it. I love that a city is just totally honing in on this. And yeah. I love that. You know, and I'd visit this place. Because of that,
I want to go there just to like just walk around and talk to people and like
I think it's
take
cool.
one of the tours and stuff like that.
I definitely believe that, like I said, that story of the people with you know, on the jetty. I definitely believe that happened. I don't think it was a vampire.
No,
I you know, and especially with like you know the difference between this and other cryptids, like you know. Like Bigfoot, like, yeah, somebody could put on a Bigfoot costume or whatever, all that stuff. But like to be a vampire, somebody just has to be really pale and like wear a cape. I don't know. Like to me, you know what? I just need more proof than this guy just, you know, running away and footprints disappearing. That doesn't, maybe that's something else. It doesn't show me that it's a vampire. Like, if you saw the same person that never aged for like 200 years, I'd start asking some questions.
Yeah, you know? That would make sense.
Yeah. Like, what kind of face cream are you using? Yeah, how are you looking? What's your diet like? But like, or like you saw somebody like fucking drinking somebody else's blood, you know, or whatever.
Like, you a vampire? Like, it's a
vampire.
Yeah, that's some vampy shit you're doing right there. So,
you know, but I don't know.
Look in this mirror.
Yeah.
So just throw some garlic at them.
Yeah.
You know, do they start melting?
I have some extra garlic knots here. You want some?
Yeah.
They're hissing at you.
I was another thing with like vampires too. It's like if you ever like partied with a vampire and they passed out, you could literally like draw a bunch of dicks on their face and they would never know until somebody told them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. But yeah, so I don't know. I like learning about it, but other than that, I don't buy it.
Yeah, I mean this one's fun, but I mean, fuck, like you texted earlier. Like, I feel like we're getting into sheep squatch territory with this
exactly.
one. But I'm like, yeah, probably, but it's still fun. So, yeah.
Oh, I agree. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Am I on board with this one? No, not really. But still an interesting one to check out.
I still would have liked to see that vampire be up in that tree and piss on one of those monsters guys' heads.
Oh, goddamn, pissed on me.
Hey, let me look right up into the stream. My eyes!
Yeah, those guys weren't the smartest. Oh, God. But yeah, so that is the story of the Mineral Point Vampire. Quick little housekeeping we got going on here. But of course, if you guys could, you know, drop us a rating, review, like even if it's just one word, you know, you can tell us we suck if you want. Just leave that 5 stars. So, but another thing too coming up. So Saturday, May 23rd, if anybody is locally in the area, we will be at the Cleveland Haunt Club's halfway to Halloween flea market. So we'll have a table set up there. It takes place at the Medina Community Center, which is at the Medina County Fairgrounds. Like I said, Saturday, May 23rd, it's from 10 to 4. So yeah, if you guys are checking that event out, you know, stop by, say hi, tell us your crazy paranormal story, because we would love to do that. And yeah, we'll have some stuff set up for you. So like I said, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. And I suppose on behalf of Lepotomized, I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Peace out.
Yo, hope to see you out there.